Yo.
What's going on? These intros just keep getting more interesting.
I said hey in the last one.
And I know.
Like, so mix it up.
So appropriate to say yo.
Yeah.
What's up?
Hola.
¿Qué tal?
All right. Now we're getting bilingual.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for joining us. We're a little bit loose and goofy right now because we're coming to the end of three straight interviews, which is not that many, but you know, three hours of talking.
Six, though, if you count yesterday.
Well, yeah, but today just finished the third, and 3 hours talking about relationships is good and get a lot of information, but you know, I think that's about the max.
I think we should touch back on this on Friday after number 12 interview of the week.
Yeah.
we'll see how that one goes.
But there is always a lot of great information to learn from these episodes. And today is no different. And you will have not listened to three in a row, I imagine. So you're probably just one. This is the first one of the day for you, feeling fresh. And you're like, yeah, give me that relationship knowledge. It's not like you're binge listening. Although if you are, thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, thanks for binge listening.
for that. Let us know if you're like, yeah, I just bang out 4 episodes at a time because I need 4 hours of relationship advice.
Power to you. That's great.
From Sarah and Chase.
Yes.
We'd be interested to hear that. Check it out in the Facebook Love Tribe. Let us know if you're a binge I Do podcast listener.
Let us know. I'll create a poll.
Well, today we welcome Dr. Mary Lamia, and she is a clinical psychologist and professor in the San Francisco Bay Area and author of 5 books and has been practicing for over 40 years. So she has a wealth of knowledge. And today we focus in and talk about rebound relationships. And she has some great insight and advice on how to navigate those. And one thing you might be surprised to learn, I know I kind of was
surprised, yeah, that they're not all that bad.
Well, and I was going to say that there's not a timeline because you often hear like
how long you should wait.
Yeah. Or not even a specific time, but like you need to wait a little bit or that's a thing. And she disagrees. And it's not like a hot take or anything, but she has some interesting reasons why. So check that out. And even if you're currently in a relationship, there is a lot to learn from this. Because really, whenever we're talking about relationships, when they're going good, when they're going bad, if you're single, it's a lot about introspection, asking yourself the right questions, and we can really always be doing that.
And like Chase mentioned earlier, check out our Love Tribe fam on Facebook. We have a community of almost 2,000 people that are all trying to improve the relationship and offer support to each other. So we would love for you guys to check that out. And then check out our 14-day Happy Couple Challenge that's on our website at idopodcast.com. And I think we've had almost 4,000 people go through this challenge. It's pretty incredible. So we would love for you guys to check that out and then check out all of our free resources we have on our website.
Awesome. Thank you guys for tuning in. Enjoy today's show.
Today's show is brought to you by our online course, Spark My Relationship. Create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner in less than 90 days. We've collaborated with 15 therapists and psychologists to bring you the strategies marriage therapists teach their clients. To unlock a special offer only for iDo Podcast listeners, visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. That's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock.
Hi, Dr. Mary. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Hi, Sarah, and hi, Chase. I'm glad to be here.
We like to start our show with having you tell us and our listeners why you enjoy helping people improve their relationships.
Well, I've been working with people as a psychotherapist for 40 years now, and it's wonderful when people have some insight around their relationships and they don't repeat the patterns they've been repeating over and over again. It's wonderful to see, and it's relieving for them, for sure.
I believe they call that the definition of insanity, when you repeat.
Right, repeating the same thing over and over and over again, and that's what we do.
I know, and sometimes I feel like I'm going insane when Sarah and I have the same argument about something silly, and
it's over and over.
Inevitable that that we do these things. No one's perfect, and that's why we love having people like yourself on the show to get this information, apply it to our own relationship, and help our listeners out. And today's topic is kind of along those lines of doing, can be along the lines of doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And that is rebound relationships. So you've broken up with someone, or you're coming out of a long relationship and you're jumping in. And a lot of times we're doing it for the wrong reasons, or we're looking for the wrong things. And maybe we can start by talking about the psychology of what's going on in our heads when we're looking for that rebound relationship.
Sure. It can be rather complicated, but the short story is that, you know, when we end a relationship, and especially if we're the one dumped, we're distressed, shamed, or we're sad, and we want to get rid of our emotional pain. It's interesting. People will do anything to get rid of negative emotions, and that's what negative emotions are all about. You know, that they motivate us because of the way they make us feel. So if we're shamed or distressed or angry, we're motivated to do something to avoid experiencing those emotions. And that's how emotions work, because if we didn't have them, we wouldn't be motivated to do anything. So we give our emotions, we attach thought to our emotions. And so in the case of jumping into another relationship, we generally assume that if we found love elsewhere, it would take care of our longing, it would take care of our distress. And so we avoid what we feel by latching on to somebody else without giving a lot of thought as to whether or not that person is completely appropriate, because we want to belong, we want to be attached. Humans just have that need. But, you know, usually when a person is at the end of a relationship, you know, they're considered, you know, not good material for a new relationship, as though they have to process it and get over the old one in order to get into a new one. You know, that's not true.
Well, there are a couple ways we can go there, and I definitely want to dive into that second thought of that it's not true, because the cultural narrative is like you need to stop and process or whatever. But then there's also this whole narrative about the rebound, you know, the rebound relationship. So why don't we talk about why it feels so good to just be reaffirmed? Like we are out of this relationship and it's like we need love. We need to feel like we're okay. And whoever and anyone, it, a lot of times can fill that, because it's just better than the void. And that's where maybe a lot of bad things can happen, where we're with the wrong person. Or, and so maybe I would ask, is it okay to be with the wrong person if you know, we're up as far as just being up, it makes us feel better and we're upfront with that other person, like, hey, I just got out of a relationship, I'm not looking for anything serious, let's just have fun. Is that so wrong?
Well, it depends how the other person feels.
Right.
Because if you're unavailable and they're seeking attachment, or at least you perceive yourself as unavailable, it either puts them into a position of working really hard to win you over, or it makes them very anxious that they never will. And it also makes them take on your negative feelings about the last relationship. So they become curious about, well, who was this person you were with, and why are you still attached to them? And
They look them up or, you know, stalk them on the internet and figure out who they are and just to find out if you're still attached. So it's sort of unfair. It alters their behavior. You know, a person can't be themselves if they have an anxious attachment with you. So if you're just wanting to hang out with them and not get serious, it creates anxiety in the other person. The same kind of anxiety you might have felt in the relationship that ended. So it gets very complicated. You know, there's a whole process that takes place in that.
For sure. And there's a lot of different circumstances depending on both people involved. And I guess if the individual that is coming out of a relationship is clear in communicating and, you know, and even is like explicitly like, I don't want you to feel anxious. I know, you know, maybe we will fall in love, but I'm not really ready for that. But I kind of like you and you're fun to hang out with. So let's see where it goes. Is that something that could be healthy? Like what's the best way to talk about that?
Yes, that can be healthy. Or let me give you another twist on it, which is when a relationship ends, especially if we're the one hurt by that relationship or we're hurt just because we had our hope raised and they didn't get met. So what emotion do we generally feel in that kind of situation? We generally feel shame. Shame is the emotion we feel when there's a disconnection from another person. Believe it or not, that's it. And generally, people have four basic responses to shame. They either attack themselves, like saying, I wasn't good enough anyway, or I didn't look good enough, I wasn't smart enough, whatever it is, comparing themselves to everybody else in terms of their ability or how they look or whatever. Another mode of responding to shame is to attack the other. Well, he was a jerk anyway, and I should have never been with him, and it's to degrade the other person. A third way is to withdraw. So you just go to bed and pull the covers over your head and don't socialize and escape from the rest of the world. And the fourth, which is very common, is avoidance. You see, a lot of people who are avoiding the shame they felt from disconnection in pickup bars, drinking a lot, doing things that really hurt them, but it blots out their feelings. They might go on a spending spree. They might do all kinds of things to avoid the shame they feel. But our healthy response to shame when we break up is to learn. And so if you are entering a new relationship and said, well, you know, I'm in a funny place because a relationship just ended, and I'm looking back at that relationship and I'm figuring out what I could learn from it. And I'm hoping that I could apply what I learned to this relationship with you and just be a better person or be a healthier person than I was in that relationship, because that one didn't feel healthy to me. Or however you would say it, in maybe not so nerdy a way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that kind of ties into what you mentioned earlier about the timeline. You know, there is that sort of, it feels like some parties will say, oh, you need time to heal. And obviously, depending on the relationship, like in the person, I'm sure that can be true. So
does time really heal us, Chase? You know, I have an issue with that whole notion of processing loss or disconnection or a breakup, because, you know, for some people, I think that's true, but I mean, can we just think about that for a second? I don't know that time takes something away. I mean, we're a composite of all of our emotional memories that we've, all the emotions we ever felt in relation to somebody else or to certain events are stored in our brain. And when we meet somebody new or when we are in a new situation, the way in which we're informed to respond to that situation has to do with all of our experiences that are stored in our brain that inform us how to do it this time. Because that, humans are efficient that way. You know, we don't have to relearn every single time. It's based on our memories of doing something similar. So when we enter a new relationship, all those other relationships and all those emotions we felt in relation to another person are right there to inform us how to behave this time. So, you know, how do we process that out? We don't process anything out. Relationships aren't something we get over. It's what we do next, how we learn the next time, and what we do differently. So it's always important to look back on your relationships, your previous relationships, and think about, you know, what can I learn from this so that I could have some perspective on those memories? It's a matter of having perspective rather than processing it some way where you erase it, because we don't erase emotional memories. They stay with us forever.
I like this. Let's dig into this, because I think it can be an interesting conversation for a couple reasons. And I don't have a opinion on either. I don't have an agenda that I'm going to argue one side. So to me, what you're saying makes a lot of sense, but maybe someone needs time to recognize those mistakes that they made and learn from them. Not in what is that time? I mean, some people might be able to, they're very introspective and they can do it in a day or almost immediately. They're like, yeah, you know what? or some people need some processing as far as to really try to figure it out, because maybe they don't understand what they want or why they attach to people in a certain way or how they receive love. And maybe those people need more time because they have to work through that. And not necessarily that there's a formula even, but is that maybe along the lines?
So they have to be in solitary confinement, Chase, and kind of process it and work it through and get some insight?
No.
But that's true. Let me give you another little corner of it. And how about if they find themselves responding to the shame of disconnection in one of the four ways I mentioned, by withdrawing or avoiding or attacking themselves or attacking the other person? You know, I mean, hate is not the opposite of love. Anger is not the opposite of love. If you're angry at the person who ended the relationship, that's not the opposite of love. The opposite of love is indifference. It's not anger, it's not hate, it's not shame, it's not anything. It's not caring anymore, it's indifference. And if you care negatively, you still care. And so if that's hanging you up, then you have to look at, why am I still caring in this way? Am I trying to pull that person back in, even if it's in a negative way, so that I can remain attached? That's an insight to gain. So it's looking at the shame of disconnection, how you're responding to it, and what is your relationship to that person at the moment. Now, how about, you know, do we need to process? Going back to, you know, your introspection here. How about perspective is gained by having a new relationship? Haven't you ever gotten into a new relationship? I don't mean to ask you personally, it's sort of like general. You get into a new relationship and it gives you perspective on the old one. Even if it makes the old one look better, but it gives you some perspective to tell you what you want and what the greater need is underneath those wants and desires. So one of the ways to gain perspective is to try something new. If you think you only like grilled cheese sandwiches and that's all you eat, you have no perspective on food. But if you go to a restaurant and you try something new, you have a different relationship with grilled cheese sandwiches. So I think we have to have some kind of new emotional experiences to gain perspective on the old ones.
I love this advice because for me, it's so ingrained that we really need to take time just to focus on ourselves after a breakup so that we don't jump into a new relationship and just create old patterns or recreate old patterns. But what you're saying is that sometimes going into a new relationship can give us that perspective to say, hey, this is what I want and what I don't want. And I think that's kind of a new concept for some of our listeners that could really benefit the way they see their future relationships.
And you know why that is, Sarah? Because the new person is not going to play our game, or hopefully not. So we're forced into having some perspective because they're different than that old person who interacted with us and maybe helped us be neurotic in our relationship. But the new person has a whole different game. And we're up against that. And so we may push our old pattern, but we may not be able to play it out. And if we could step back with the new relationship and look at ourselves, whether it's the old relationship or the new relationship, we always have to step back and look at ourselves and say, you know, what is going on here? You know, what am I doing in this relationship? Am I being overly controlling? Am I being anxious? Why is it I'm jealous? What's going on with my jealousy? And why do I feel that way? What's going on with my need to figure out where this person is all the time? Why do I feel anxious when I'm with them? Or why do I feel anxious without them? It's just a matter of always looking at yourself and being curious. Curiosity and interest are emotions that are so necessary in this process. Curiosity about yourself. And why you do the crap you do, or the good stuff.
And you may find out along the way that that one thing that really bothered you that your ex was doing, if it's, you know, follows you into the new relationship, maybe it's actually something that you are doing that you didn't even realize. And that may allow you to open up to self introspection to see, hey, what really bothers me that is making this situation continue to arise in my new relationships?
So true, Sarah, except, you know, people always want, you know, their own direction and things their way, and they don't take the time to sit back and kind of look at things. I was talking to somebody the other day who was who is in a new relationship, and she was going to be doing some work in another state where her ex lives, and she wanted to visit the ex because the ex had dumped her. And it was just to kind of strut her stuff and say, I'm in a new relationship and I don't want you. And look what you lost. And, you know, there were those leftover feelings there. And I asked her what the person she's involved with now, what that person was going to feel about her visiting the ex, and what was more important, and what was she doing really, and what was she looking for with this ex? You know, what was she trying to restore? What was she trying to fix in herself? You know, what part of her ego was she trying to repair? And she was able to take a look at it and made the decision she wasn't going to visit the ex when she was in that state. And in fact, she was going to go home and call her present partner and say, I'm not going to do it. You're more important to me. I don't want to hurt you.
It seems like an important thing here is the introspection, because I'm going to play devil's advocate here. And if there's someone that is repeating the same habits of going into unhealthy relationships because they're just in these same patterns, it seems like there should be a pause and some time, but there needs to be that realization. And if it's not coming from within that person, maybe a friend can say, hey, like, look at what you're doing. And then seems like something like therapy to get that introspection would be the step there, rather than just hoping that you get it from that new relationship that's going to highlight, you know, the things that we're doing wrong.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. Today's episode is sponsored by our course, Spark My Relationship.
We started I Do Podcast to get information to improve our own relationship. We thought at the very least we'll be able to do that, and then to share it with our listeners. The guests are great, and we've gotten a ton of valuable information, but we found that if we don't actually deliberately take the time to implement the strategies and tools that our guests give us, we weren't seeing the real lasting benefits that we desired in our relationship. And that's why we created the Spark My Relationship course. We've collaborated with 15 psychologists and therapists to create a comprehensive relationship course that not only teaches you the skills needed to create a successful and lasting relationship, but the tools to execute it.
By enrolling in the online course, you'll have access to the same strategies and tools that marriage therapists teach their clients, including therapist-taught video lessons with workbooks and exercises to help you work towards accomplishing your relationship goals in less than 90 days. You'll also learn how to detox unhelpful relationship habits and learn healthy ways to interact. You'll learn how to disagree respectfully and communicate mindfully, as well as how to improve intimacy and reignite your sex life, and so much more. Spark My Relationship isn't just a course for struggling couples. It's a course for couples who want to see their relationship flourish. If this is you, then you are a perfect fit for the course. So for a special offer for our I Do Podcast listeners, head over to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Again, for 30% off the course, plus special bonuses just for I Do Podcast listeners, visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock.
Today's interview is also brought to you by Hourglass Cosmetics, and I'm going to let Sarah tell you about it because I don't wear makeup.
Yes, I'll be more than happy to tell you guys about it. For a lot of beauty brands, luxury means something to splurge on and an indulgence. But when I experienced the performance and innovation of Hourglass Cosmetics, it was easy to see that for them, luxury means so much more. Hourglass's Caution Extreme Lash Mascara is groundbreaking. And as you guys know, I'm obsessed. It's actually on my birthday, Christmas, every holiday gift list. Wink, wink, Chase. You got that?
Well, they hooked us up, so I don't have to buy it for you.
Well, it's not going to last forever, and I need to stock up since we're in Costa Rica. It's beautifully packaged, and their long-lasting formula is completely vegan, never flakes, and never smudges. And I can definitely vouch for that here in hot and humid Costa Rica. Their tapered brush delivers endless length, intense volume, and lift, and helps me get those hard-to-reach areas. Discover Hourglass like I did and experience unparalleled next generation performance by visiting hourglasscosmetics.com/I do and use the promo code I do to get free shipping with your purchase of a full size Caution mascara. That's hourglasscosmetics.com/I do and enter the promo code I do.
Yeah, I don't want everybody to go to therapy. In fact, I think people should stay out of therapy and just look at themselves. But a therapist can really help because it's a neutral party who can discuss this with you. And your friends are biased. Even though friends are often really good at observing what you're doing over and over and over again. But if we just take the time to look at ourselves and look at who we are in a relationship and how we are in a relationship, we can gain a lot of insight. But most of us don't take the time to do that. We just sort of float along in life and don't take a look at what is really going on. And then there are people who take too much of a look at what's going on and they obsess about it. So you don't want to be extreme in either direction.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to get to is, even if someone listening is in a long-term committed relationship and can think of older relationships, like there's value to be gleaned from them, but how, we don't want to obviously do it too much, but that once we have found a committed relationship that's working, I think some people shut down and, or you're not even thinking about the other ones, because you're content in the one you're in, but the one you're in only has a certain perspective that's working and or not, but it's not highlighting like these other aspects. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we get pretty lazy and we just kind of float along in the relationship rather than challenge ourselves to learn and to take a look at it. And to take a look at what we're taking for granted, too. And there's so much out there on the internet. And there's so many books written about emotions and relationships and sort of why we do what we do and why we are who we are. People could learn a lot. And it's sort of fun to be introspective. Although, not fun for everybody, because sometimes you challenge yourself with that and you feel, again, shame pops up. You know, what have I done? What did I do? Now I don't feel good about myself. I'm looking at myself and I see my flaws. Well, it's all about learning and having an interest, and that helps us move forward.
So you mentioned how, like, if we're getting into a rebound relationship, that the new perspectives and the new emotional experiences are learning tools. And then once we're in that relationship for a few years or it's a long-term relationship and then maybe even a marriage, it's like it's harder and harder to find those new perspectives and those new emotional experiences. So how do you think about creating that in a more committed relationship? Because I feel like it's so important, and it's harder and harder for Sarah and I, having been together for 10 years, to have that.
Well, you do a podcast together, and that creates novelty. Novelty is one of the biggest, you know, if you want glue in a relationship, it's novelty. And it's having novel experiences together and to share interests, to share your excitement. And so it's a challenge for sure, because when we're getting to know somebody, everything's new, everything's novel. And so it's really exciting. So how do you keep that excitement up? Well, that's the challenge. And some people do it better than others. I think it's really cool to do a podcast together. That, I mean, you have it built in.
Yeah, it's such a challenge. And certainly the podcast has created new perspectives and interest and novelty. But even that, it's funny because this is life, right? Like we just adapt and we adjust and it becomes a new normal. And we're approaching 200 episodes and it's like, yeah, this is what we do. But by the time this comes out, we're going to be over 200. And it's like, we're shifting gears here a little bit, but talking about committed relationship, that novelty wears off and then you're just, everything is sort of stripped over time. And it's like, you need, and this is something Sarah and I need to do. And it's not easy when you have a kid, when you have jobs, to try new things and do new things and explore new areas of interest and conversations, because you get in your routine and it's not even that it's bad, but it just becomes like a certain level of normal that that maybe there's something better, you know, and that we can, but we have to push ourselves a little and get out of our comfort zone.
But see, that's what you're talking about, learning and being aware. And those are that's the substance of a good relationship, is learning all the time and, you know, being aware of yourselves and being aware of what you do. And speaking of novelty, I mean, it's one of the reasons why people have children. I mean, children create novelty all the time.
We have plenty of that with our 3-year-old.
Yes, we do.
And that has definitely been a joy. She's like all the personality definitely, you know, as parents having that. And I just feel like
relationships are hard.
Yeah.
And it's hard to be without them too. And that's the problem with, you know, the rebound relationship is that when we humans are made to seek connection and that kind of resonance with another person. And you know, when there's this empty space that's left by a relationship gone bad, it challenges our stability. You know, and we want to be distracted from the loss and connected again. And, you know, the question is always, you know, can we move on in a healthy way? I guess that's what it is. It's all about healthy learning, whether you're in a relationship long term or rebounding or whatever you're doing. The goal is to learn in a healthy way, rather than to avoid or hurt yourself in some way because you can't learn.
I feel like I always have to remind myself that, because when you're in the moment, if you're in an argument or a discussion and it just doesn't feel good, a lot of the times afterwards, you just have to think, well, how did we deal with that conflict resolution? Because a lot of the times, you know, we can learn from that and grow. And what seems like in the moment, a very kind of heated discussion can actually be, you know, very beautiful in the end if you've really tackled the issue or figured out or learned something new about your relationship or your partner.
Oh, that's so true, Sarah. And to be able to look at those moments of conflict, I always tell people, a good relationship is not necessarily a relationship where everything is smooth and there's no conflict. The hallmark of a good relationship is how people resolve their differences and what people do with ruptures and what they learn from those ruptures. Because if you can learn from ruptures in your relationship, you can become much closer. But people don't learn from them. That's the thing they repeat, Chase. They repeat those ruptures over and over and over again, never learn from them. So there's a lot of different ruptures, but you don't want to be doing the same one over and over again. You want to be able to learn.
Certainly, and to grow. And I'm just thinking of the listener who's dating and they're going to be better prepared for a rebound relationship and the approach to that. But even within a long-term committed relationship, it's not a static thing. Like, you go through periods of disconnect where, you know, you're not breaking up, but it's like a similar thing to that. Like, you have a disconnect from the other human in your life, and then you reconnect, and it's like there's these fluctuations, and hopefully you're more on the connected side most of the time, but there's going to be the disconnect. So it's like a long-term monogamous relationship has like a rebound relationship within it, almost. Like, obviously it's the same person, but people are always changing, and so I'm looking at it kind of through that lens as well, obviously being in a marriage. And that,
well, I have a question for you on that though, before you go on.
Yeah.
Do you think men need that space more than women? Or do you think it's just different humans need that kind of you know, in every relationship, there's sometimes a need to distance and then come back together again.
Yeah, 100%.
And one person distances and the other gets anxious rather than recognize that that space can be sacred and it can bring you back together again and closer. But how people navigate that space that you're talking about is really important. And I don't think anybody looks at that. Because you can't be close all the time. Humans aren't made to be just, you know, twinned all the time. And sometimes they need just to step back. And there's a little bit of distance, but how a partner responds to that and how you help a partner understand that is really important. I mean, so you brought up something really crucial in a relationship, but, you know, we're going to go off on some other tangent.
Yeah, I was going to say that's another podcast, but it's interesting because, you know, there's elements of desire and novelty and, you know, purposely creating that distance, not necessarily from a rupture, but it can increase passion. And it's complex. And that's why relationships can be so hard, but they're so interesting and so valuable to us in that, to go back to what we're talking about with the rebound, the central theme is that we're learning. And
yes,
that we're aware and we're learning, whether we're dating or we're in a committed long-term relationship, that we're being introspective, that we're learning, that we're trying not to repeat the same things, and what a tool to be able to learn about ourselves and to have new experiences and new ways to relate to people. And it's just... it's why it's a journey. It's not a destination. It's so cliche, but that's the truth. It's like if we just, hey, I got everything figured out and this is how it is. And Sarah and I, we just have perfect interaction and communication. And it's like, that would be pretty boring and we wouldn't learn anything new. And that's just not how it works. Fortunately, because that would not make it very interesting. But at the same time, sometimes you're like, man, this is tough. Like, so it has its ups and downs, but the work is work worth doing. And you got to be in it. You got to be aware that that work has to happen.
And even in terms of for people who have children, how you respond to a child differs. And to understand your different responses rather than fight about them.
Someone mentioned in a past interview, one of our guests, and it goes along the lines of what you said exactly earlier, is that conflict is not bad. It's how it's resolved. And what that guest said was that in front of your children, arguing, obviously screaming and stuff like that is not good, but having a disagreement in front of your children is not necessarily bad. It's showing them that you can have conflict resolution and showing them how to properly do that can actually give them tools for their relationships in the future.
Absolutely. But how many people are able to do that or even aware?
Right. Right. Because it's hard in the moment. It's hard. I mean, Chase and I we do this, you know, every day, and we get into those arguments and we find ourselves slowly going off the deep end, and we just have to step back and say, okay, what do we know? How can we make this right? And let's do it.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, you probably have a lot to talk about doing these podcasts too. So at least the interest is always there.
Yeah. And that's why we love doing them, is to help ourselves, but to get this information out there, because like you said, it's like, how many people do that? Well, a few thousand that are listening to this, because it's like, this is not stuff that we're just born with knowing how to do perfectly. And that's why, going back to it's hard, but it's work worth doing. And we love to be able to have guests like yourself on, have people listening and applying it to the relationship, or at the very least, just hearing these words and being like, oh, that's a thing. I should think about the way I interact with my partner or the next partner I choose and why the previous one did not work. Just that pause, just that mindfulness of the situation is so valuable.
And we didn't really mention, and it occurs to me that the person, I think you brought it up, the person who is in a relationship with the rebounding person, potentially rebounding person, and anxious about that and questioning their emotional availability, you know, they have something to learn too in wondering if somebody's emotionally available. Because if you wonder if somebody's emotionally available, you have to think about too, well, what may be going on with you? And what are your fears about being hurt or about somebody not really being attached to you? Like you were saying in the beginning, if the rebounding person says, well, you know, I have really processed this loss, but I want to hang out. I don't want to get serious right now. You know, what does that bring up in the other? And there's so much.
There certainly is so much for that person to think about and for everyone in all of these circumstances. And that's what makes it so exciting. If we can take that perspective that we have stuff to learn about ourselves, about what it means to go through life in relationships, not even romantic relationships, but friends and family. And that's really what it means to be human. And that's why I think we love getting this information, sharing it with our listeners. And Dr. Mary, we've got a lot to think about after this episode, as we do after many of our episodes. So thank you so much for all this great information. Why don't we finish up by having you tell our listeners where they can find you online and if there's something you want to leave them with, and then we'll say goodbye.
Certainly, if they want more information or information about my books, they could take a look at my website. It's MaryLamia.com. That's MaryLamia.com.
Excellent. We'll have those links on your show notes page on our website at idopodcast.com. And thank you. It was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you, Sarah and Chase. You're fun.
Hey guys, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. As always, all the links are in the show notes page, as well as on the podcast description. And while you're on our website, we encourage you guys to check out our 14-day Happy Couple Challenge. We send you an email for 14 days with simple, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And on our website, we also have a bunch of free resources for your relationship. So we encourage you to check those out. We also have our Love Tribe on Facebook. We encourage you guys to join the tribe and be there for support for each other. If you have questions or just need some relationship advice, we are all here for each other. The group has grown to almost 1,000 people, and we love it. So we hope you guys join that. You can go to Facebook, Love Tribe Fam, and you'll find us right there. And if you are interested in learning more about our flagship course, Spark My Relationship, we hope you guys check it out. We have a special offer that is only for podcast listeners. So you can go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock, and you can unlock that special offer and learn more. As always, thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next week.